Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the old trees and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest, and I felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you're going to be anywhere near Alpharetta, Georgia, you do not want to miss Sunday church at Alpharetta Bible Church. Todd, this is Wretched Radio.
What is that noise?
Do you... Excuse me, duh, I'm going to talk about the sermon, surviving close shaves. And that means I need to shave while I'm talking about close shaves.
I mean, so that people will really get the impact of the sermon, because the Bible isn't sufficient and I need props and gimmicks and gizmos to get people's attention.
Did I mention this is exactly what Pastor Michael Todd just did on Sunday morning? That's right. The Sunday sermon was about getting a haircut from God or something like that. And while on the stage in his hot pink uniform with props and gizmos and stage decorations, he was getting a haircut. See what he did there? Because you're going to get cut. So you better just let God cut. And I'm getting my hair cut. Well, I'm talking about God giving a cut. Now, you might be asking, what Bible verse did he use for his text? And the answer is, we have no idea, because believe me when I tell you, it was not out of laziness. We didn't go listen to the sermon. We just couldn't do it. Megachurch pastor, Oklahoma, thousands of folks, and this kid is an internet sensation. And his preening and his pausing and his costumes and his props and needing the decorations is just so grievous and such an assault on the Bible and its sufficiency. The most interesting book in the world is the Bible. And if you can't make that sound interesting to people who come to your church, you are simply not qualified. You are in the wrong business, and you need to go to Broadway or TV, whatever. Just get some other sort of job where you can use your theatrical skills. But the church is no home for theatrics, because it undermines the sufficiency of the Bible. Jimmy, name a book that you really like. Anything, or even just pick a book from history and antiquity.
Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot.
Moby Dick it is.
Okay, outside the Bible. Yeah.
So, outside the Bible. See, you're just so stuck. Moby Dick it is. So, I'm going to tell you about Moby Dick. And in order to do that, I'm going to set up a tennis net. And I'm going to have a tennis racket with a ball machine so that I can explain to you how the whale chased after the captain and how he dodged a tennis ball. And you'd go, it's about a fish in the water. And it has nothing to do with tennis. But see, I need to illustrate it so that people can get it. You'd go, then you don't know what you're doing. If you can't simply explain the plot of the book, you are not a good teacher. Exactly. So let me share with you the text from the sermon as presented in Christian Post. I'm going to read this in a way that is pretty flat, because this type of communication requires all kinds of dramatization and inflection. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. And incidentally, that is the sign of a higher sermon. If it can be transcribed into print without a whole lot of manipulation, there's always going to be some. It's a different form of communication, a different style. So there will always be some editing required to take it from talk to text. But this requires so much editing for it to even read like it's at a second grade level. So here we go. I need to say this to you. like just come to God in all your fears and all your tears, and he bottles them and he's going to coddle them. And we make you feel like when you come to God, then somehow it get easy. I just want to let you know that our desire for comfort has made us despise his cut. This is second grade, maybe? You think if God tells you no, you're getting punished. Instead of if God tells you no, he's protecting you. You think if God doesn't allow you to get the position you prayed for, that somehow he hasn't heard your cry, but he actually is answering the prayers you didn't know how to form with your lips by not letting you get into a position that you would be locked into because he knows you're a people pleaser. And if you got that position, you wouldn't leave there for 15 years. Well, at least that was mostly coherent. You're about to hear prosperity light. And 3 years from now, he's going to open up the actual destiny step that you need. There it is. God's got this great plan for you. And if you don't figure out what it is and walk into that, you're going to be tripping through life clueless and stuck in a dead-end job for 15 years. What a bibbity-bobbity-boo shell game this presents to people. No wonder why they have to keep coming back to church. Are you going to drop a clue for me today so I can know what I'm supposed to be doing? Because God's got a destiny and I don't want to miss the boat. How cruel is this? But if you desire comfort at the expense of desiring the cut, hold on a second. Let me just try to recreate this for you because it needs help. If you desire comfort at the expense of desiring the cut, not from anybody, just regular, I'm talking about from God, you will miss out on what God has for you. Did any of that make sense? No. What are people going to remember? The pastor got a haircut on stage, and I guess I'm going to get cut by God or something like that. And who's the star of the show? He is. A prop is. A gimmick is. I'm just going to read one more section of this because he's wearing hot pink pants and a tight t-shirt or whatever it is, a collared shirt. I was on the beach, praise report. I felt more comfortable in swim clothes than I ever have in my life. Huh? What? Are we still in the church with the cut business? Yes, we are. Follow along, please. Now, some of you all won't shout with me, but you weren't with me when I was 275. I was ready to take my shirt off. I'm just serious. I was like, what are we wearing today, baby? I was getting my bathing suits ready and I wanted to color coordinate. I want you wearing pink today. Mimicking his wife's voice, I want you to wear pink today. I wear pink today. What I realized is my comfort on the beach came from the cutting in the gym. Oh! It's a beach haircut, pink bathing suit sermon illustration. I got my cutting in the gym. Your comfort comes from a place of cutting. You want comfort in your marriage? Go get that cutting at counseling. You want comfort in your finances? Cut the budget. God is shaping you into the image of what he sees for me because I can't see it for myself. So the dude gets to show off his new physique, but he's nowhere near the level of Perry Noble. That's right. He's back in business. You remember this fellow fell and he was a potty mouth pastor and now he's back. He's in business again. And this Sunday, he bench pressed 400 pounds to illustrate God's power plus God's people so that you don't worry. Quote, this represents the weight that all of us carry in life, said Noble, who made a 135-pound barbell on stage. Every single day that we wake up, we carry weight, whether it's spiritual, emotional, psychological weight. Everybody in this room is carrying a certain amount of weight. See what he did there, Jimmy?
I love those props.
You know what? I'm surprised he didn't have weights on the stage to do a sermon on waiting on the Lord. Wouldn't actually surprise. What? It's the same word, right? No. Noble went on to explain that carrying the weight is not necessarily a bad thing because it makes you stronger. But life's pressures can become too difficult. And so He added enough weight to make it 400 pounds and pretended he was going to attempt lifting it before saying, "Ain't no bleeping way." In the sermon on the winning the war against worry, which incidentally we will be preaching on next Sunday when we are in our new church building in Alpharetta Bible Church. Unbelievable what God has allowed us to do. The main thing I want to teach today is God's power plus God's people equals winning the war against worry. Get ready for this. I wanted to talk to the person out there, you're watching online going, "I don't need the church. All I need is Jesus. It's just me and Jesus." Get ready for some blasphemy. Well, I'm glad you're that righteous. I'm not making this up. But not even Jesus was enough for Jesus. Because he needed the disciples to pray with them in the garden, so Jesus wasn't enough for Jesus. Blasphemous, frankly, on every level, removing the spotlight from King Jesus, who is sufficient in every regard, and shining it on unqualified men. This should grieve us. This is pathetic. And this is Wretched Radio.
Hey, so have you ever wondered how you can share a little hope with the world? What Time is Purple is more than just a question. It's a conversation starter, and it's yours to give absolutely free. You may remember and may have even helped us distribute 1 million copies of What Time is Purple just a couple of years back. Well, now we're on a mission to distribute another 1 million of these evangelistic booklets. For our international family, we're ready to ship pallets or half pallets directly to you. You just have to make sure your pre-orders are in by April 1st. And deliveries will begin in May. And for our domestic listeners from right here within the good old USA, from cases to full pallets, you can order now at wretched.org/purple while supplies last. So whether you're sharing these evangelistic booklets at your local church, university campus, or any gathering you might come across, remember every booklet you give is a chance to reach someone with the gospel. Head over to wretched.org/purple and let's cover the world in purple together. Again.
Might I, first of all, thank you for the hundreds of wretches who supported Masters Academy International last year. And if you are now perhaps intrigued by what they do at Masters Academy International, would encourage you to check them out. Yes, we're doing a Bible distribution program with them, but they're training pastors around the globe. Seminary trained students at the Master's Seminary return to their native land. And they get plugged into a Masters Academy International mini seminary outlet where they teach indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. It's brilliant. And these indigenous pastors trained at the Masters Seminary train indigenous pastors. Brilliant. It is a wonderful ministry. And you could be supporting a pastor. You could be supporting a seminary overseas, and you'll be strengthening the local church. You can do that at wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. We appreciate you when you tune in and listen every day. We appreciate you when you visit our website and purchase our resources. And we appreciate you when you reach into your pocket, pull out your hard-earned money, and donate to this ministry. That means more to us than you realize. As a matter of fact, it means the world to us, quite literally, because you help us reach people all over the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it costs way more than pocket lint and warm feelings to produce Wretched Radio and TV, Road Trip to Truth, and Transformed. It takes resources, and it takes gospel partners. So for those of you already on board as ongoing monthly gospel partners, thank you. And if you haven't become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would love it if you would prayerfully consider doing so. All of the answers to all of the questions we know you have can be found at wretched.org/donate. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Know your church fathers. Justin Martyr was a second century apologist who was converted after seeing the courage and devotion of Christian martyrs. He earned his surname when he was executed for his faith. When asked to renounce his faith, he responded, "No one in their right mind turns from true belief to false belief." This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's talk about talking.
Shut up! You idiot! Loser! Sellout!
Wow, this is Wretched Radio. No doubt you've noticed conversations about virtually anything can be rather acrimonious these days. And I'm not talking about social media. I'm talking about inside the church. If anybody disagrees about virtually anything, yikes, the conversations can become so divisive. Neil Shenby, perhaps that name rings a bell, writing an article called Talking About Race in 2024, he was the fellow who probably did, well, there were others, but he did a magnificent job in helping us get CRT, critical race theory, when it was first introduced to public consciousness about 5 years ago. Been going on in academia for decades, but all of a sudden we're hearing all of these words, the hegemony and the oppression of different people. What is all of this? Neil Shenby was very helpful, and he was noticing as of late that the ability for anti-woke people, that is not a pejorative, it is simply a descriptor for those of us who are opposed to CRT, you would be considered anti-woke. Now, I suspect these days that term probably has baggage, which is one of our challenges when it comes to even conversing about these subjects. I personally don't think anti-woke is a negative thing. I think it's a perfectly fine descriptor. Maybe there are folks out there who use it in a different way for our purposes. You're just opposed to CRT. And he noticed that this group of people, of whom I am one, are getting increasingly less able, perhaps, to have any sort of sharing of ideas. And he explains the reason for that, that people who are against CRT hear anything that isn't quite right and basically go to a 10. And perhaps you've experienced that. You've been on the receiving end, or perhaps you've been the one who feels that way. Somebody brings up a subject, a political issue, what candidate you're going to vote for, and it just, wait a second. What are you saying with that? And I see it regularly. And Neil Shenby, I think, put his finger on the pulse of it in this article about conversations about race that I believe has a broader application for us, so that you and I can be ones who are actually capable of having a conversation. I know that word is loaded with luggage, but that we can actually engage somebody for a sharing of ideas in an effort to try to persuade somebody of our position. How do we do that when these days it's really hard to say and hear virtually anything? So here's what Neil Shenby did. He noticed about a year ago that he was receiving pushback for his writings on CRT, not from the woke, but the anti-woke. And people were saying, you've changed, that he was now a mushy third way moderate, woke adjacent, or even a secret progressive. Highly unlikely based on all of the work that he has done on this subject. So something has changed, he thought. And I'm sure he was open to, have I changed? Have I compromised in some way? I'm sure he didn't overlook that. But he decided to try an experiment. Here's what he did. He started to post some quotes. So here, for instance, was his first quote that he published, posted on January 1st. Now, you see what you think of it. Here's the quote. How do you respond to this? Quote, racism is a sin rooted in pride and malice, which must be condemned and renounced by all who would honor the image of God in all people. You'd go, what? I think that you would affirm that statement, but was there anything in there that bothered you? Well, it bothered a lot of people. Here are some of the responses. Define racism. Okay. Well, you know, having a haughty attitude about somebody. Well, but that's not how they use racism. So when you say racism is bad, the meaning that progressives have used for racism, that it's only the oppressed who can experience racism from the oppressor, but the oppressed themselves can't be racist because they're oppressed. It's only the oppressor who can be racist. If that's what you mean, you're wrong, pal. In fact, that's what somebody said. Quote, wrong. You might be gaslighting. In group preference is displayed by every single race on Earth. It is always normal, godly, and noble, except when people do it. According to the world system, we're not supposed to be taking our cues from. Here's another one. Universalist twaddle was one of the quotes. This is what makes this response so interesting. You probably don't recognize that quote, but it was from a document written in 2017 by John MacArthur, Vodi Bakum, and a number of other theologians. It was the Dallas Statement on Race. And when it was published, people were like, whoa, that's like really aggressive. Now, just what, 7 years later? That's squishy. That's compromised. And the reason people perceive that is because in culture, the word racism, the incorrect definition of it, the unbiblical definition of it, has won the day. And so when you talk about racism today, it means something different than it did 7 years ago. And we need to be mindful of that. Here's another. So then a week later, he quoted this. This is what he posted. I utterly repudiate sinful ethnic partiality in all its forms. Now, you need to know that that came from the Statement on Christian Nationalism and the Gospel. That was written by Christian nationalists. I actually have that document on my desk. Nevertheless, these are not people who are woke. Let's just leave it at that. Here's the responses. Stunning. Brave. Publicly self-congratulating one's righteousness avails nothing for God's kingdom. Luke 18. I don't repudiate ethnic partiality. What in the world? That statement is not wrong. But because the culture has done such a bang-up job of imposing CRT worldview on all of us, we've gotten extremely defensive. And I'm not saying it's wrong. The point is that culture has caused us to respond in such a way because we see the semantic shell game that is being played. And he goes on to say, I've got four reasons why I think that this is happening. And this is worthy of our consideration because, look, we deal with these issues all the time. Whatever the latest church big story is, the breaking story, how are we supposed to respond? What are we supposed to do with? This is now being taught. This is what's happening at an institution. So here's his four reasons. One is CRT itself. That CRT, the word racism, has lost a shared meaning. The new shared meaning is that you've got to be an oppressor in order to be racist. So that's one reason racism has won the day. Number two, politics. If you ever, these days, in the political realm, criticize anything on the right, you just join Marie Antoinette up there on the platform to get your head chopped off. It can't be done. Especially in talking about, well, I can think of one political candidate. You say anything somewhat critical, like it appears that he is promoting an abortion position that is not pro-life. And you say that, and it's like, boom, off with your head. Why spend any time punching to the right? Yeah, racism is bad, but we're not in danger of neo-Nazis becoming a local a country commissioner, let alone a senator or the president. The greatest threat is wokeism. So don't you be critical of anything on the right. And we can do that in the church, can't we? We're trying to defend biblical conservatism. And if you ever offer, if you any sort of, hey, well, you know, maybe in this we could take a look out. You're Russell Moore. You're David French. He cites context. A statement like racism must be rejected, might mean one thing from a conservative and something entirely different from a progressive. It's true, isn't it? And then finally, he actually cites, and we just need to be aware that this is an option, now that increasingly there might be people who are becoming racist, honestly. because of what they're feeling, how they're being made to feel, how they're being made to think about themselves. It's actually causing the very thing that CRT is intended to do, to pit us against one another so that we will tear everything down. What do we do with all of that? What do we do with all of that? I think there's two lessons. Number one, how do we hold our conservative principles and still be willing to be critical of ourselves? That ain't easy, and it's harder than ever. Number two, how do we have a communication, a conversation with somebody these days with words ever changing? I think the answer is we don't. We need an outside referee. We need to use the Bible. So if we're going to engage on this subject or any other subject, specifically a theological subject, all the lingo has to go flying out the window, and we need to let the Bible speak. This is Wretched Radio.